Well, it's great to be with you guys. And just before you have bad thoughts, I know you're thinking, what a horrible husband. I left my wife at home with a broken back. She got out of emergency last Friday, a week ago Friday. And we had a wedding after church last, I don't even know the dates, two Sundays ago now. And we were standing in the food line. That's the place I love most to be. And she was behind me talking to people. And the next thing we knew, she was flat on her back and she'd stepped back and there was an uneven part of the parking lot. And she fractured her back. And so she was in emergency for a week. And she got home on the Friday a week ago. And we were supposed to be in Alberta like 10 days ago. And so I canceled everything. And then on the weekend, we were chatting. She says, you really need to go. So I set up, like she has, we live right next door to my daughter and her kids. And so the three granddaughters, every morning, one comes and makes her coffee. One gets her ice water. And the other one gets her breakfast. I know. See, I set it up. I was me. And then a nurse comes in at 10 and does all that kind of stuff. And I arrange lunches every day. Someone comes in and brings her lunch every day. And so I'm not that bad, just so you know. And I had to promise her, though, my grandson turned 16 today, and I have to be home for his birthday. And so that was, otherwise we would have stayed. I wanted to join you guys tonight, but I apologize for that. It's a privilege for me to be here, and here's the difficulty always when I visit, people say, where's Tamana? So next time I'll just send her and I'll stay home. But I was just feeling during worship and pre-service prayer this morning, I want to tell you that you have a very good church community. And just encourage you not to take that to advantage. That you would appreciate the family sense, just the dynamics that you have here. Over the years, I don't know how many years it is, I was actually reminding Len yesterday, we had lunch, and I said, do you remember the first time we had coffee? It was someplace down on Anthony Hendy at a Waves, I think. We didn't have a clue who each of us were. But I was involved with MFI, and he was thinking about your church becoming involved in MFI, and it started an amazing relationship. And I said, if I come next time, I want to come on a Sunday when you're not here so that I can correct things and get things straightened out and just preach my own doctrine, and then we'll be in good shape. So don't record this. No. We love your pastors. We really appreciated them. Time is flying, but 3 weeks ago, my wife and I transitioned out of leadership as lead pastors in our church, and we were blessed. Len and Lori came for the weekend, and I mean, for us, that means a lot. They've been very, very good friends in ministry, and we value their friendship. You also have very good elders and leaders. We've gotten to know these guys over the years, and I'll tell you, it's... Well, in my last season here, I've met with so many churches and elderships that are, I would say, dysfunctional. Elderships are divided, whether it's pandemic-related or whether it's doctrine-related, and you just see that division begin to filter through the church. And I actually brag about your leadership team in lots of places. I don't use your names per se, because you might get calls. But they have such strong relationships and a strong heart and passion for the church and a love for the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm always impressed, you guys. So I consider it a privilege to be here. When you get older, you're supposed to say, you don't look old. I am. I'll be 69 this fall, so... We're getting up there. When you get older, though, there's certain things that matter and things that don't matter. And when I was a young guy starting up in ministry, man, my nickname was the agitator. It's like everything mattered, and I was going to change everything in the church. And now that I'm older and been in ministry for a while, it's like there's some things that matter and there's some things that don't matter. And this morning I want to talk about something that's just really dear on my heart that I believe matters for the church. Is what I'm believing for our nation. I'm believing this for our own local church. I believe it for churches that I visit. And that is that there would be a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, really simply, something that matters to me deeply is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I appreciated you this morning, like all the way through pre-service prayer, just the Spirit and life. You know, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And you know, PJ reading from Romans chapter 8 about the Spirit. And this matters to me. And so I'm going to ask you, I know some of you got to think like, oh man, we've had so much teaching on this. Listen, don't check out, but just consider maybe you could learn something. And even as an old guy, I need that. I need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit to keep moving forward in ministry, but just keeping forward in life and to be able to walk the walk that Jesus wants me to walk, I need that fresh outpouring of the Spirit. And then some of you might be here and maybe this is all new to you, so we have all extremes. And I'm going to start by reading a passage in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation because I understand it better. Anyways, in verse 4, once when Jesus was eating with the disciples, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom?" And he replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, South Edmonton, and the ends of the earth." Yeah. Or should I say the ends of the earth in South Edmonton? I don't know. Let me pray. Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit this morning. I pray, Father, that you would just help me to communicate the thoughts that you have. But I pray more than anything, Father, that as a church, Enjoy Life Church, as Canadians, our local churches, we would experience that fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. This little word, but, interesting word, a conjunction, and it literally takes two thoughts or two statements where the second statement is actually completely different than the first statement, which is, I find, really interesting. And in this last season, I can only speak of our city, but I've watched pastors and leaders depart from their regular, you know, preaching the gospel and, you know, reaching to the city, and they've switched over to preaching about end times and all the different signs that we had during the pandemic that are signs of the end times. And I read this passage, and, you know, Jesus just told them, "You've heard about this. You've heard about the promise that I'm going to send you." And their first question is, when is the end going to come? And when are you going to restore your kingdom? And Jesus says, that's none of your business. You'll never know the day and you'll not know the time, so don't worry about that. But I'm going to endue you with power from on high. Like, look at the two extremes. I think it's, you know, when I came here, I think of but. I came to Edmonton, and everybody from Alberta, when they come to BC, they always talk about the fact that it rains. But what about here? I've experienced more rain this week in Edmonton and Calgary. As a matter of fact, I drove through Red Deer on Wednesday, and it was like nighttime at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was so dark, and the rain was pouring down. So, and I saw all the people pulling off to the side of the road. Not me. I'm from BC. I can drive in rain. I can do this. Or you say something, I can drive a car, but I don't have a license. Love at first sight is possible, but it pays to take a second look. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. You'll have to think about that one. Fruit flies. Do I have to explain it to you? But here it is. In the middle of this time when Jesus is in his last few days with the disciples, they're more interested in the end times. And I've seen it in the church. I've seen it in our own city where people have got distracted with all of the stuff taking place and all what they consider to be signs. I won't get into them. But all the different things that were taking place and what the government was doing and all that. And I'm thinking, come on. Jesus says none of that really matters. And can I just be honest and frank? In chapter, I think it's 24, Jesus says way worse stuff's going to happen before the end comes. So, you know, a little bit of flu and a bad cold. Come on. But the church changed its emphasis onto things, political things and pandemic and teaching on the signs of the end times. And yet here we have this promise from God, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he has become our greatest helper. I love what Jesus says in John chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I do depart, I'll send him to you. And the teaching or the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, our greatest helper and our greatest advantage, has become one of the most controversial areas in the church and places of contention. Denominations have split. Churches have split. People, I knew two brothers, this is like decades ago, but two brothers that actually stopped talking to each other because of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It grieves me, because the thing the church needs more than anything else right now is that fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And whenever we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, kind of people start freaking out. Oh, what does this mean? I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know what this means to me. And simply, all the way through the Old Testament, the word spirit was ruach, and it's used over 370 times, and it literally means a wind, a breath, a blast of breath. And in the Greek, the most used word is pneuma, and it's used over 370 times. And it means a current of air, a blast of breath, strong breeze. Literally, what it's talking about is the breath of God. The Spirit of God, the description of God in action, or the description of God in motion. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the movement of God in our lives. We're talking about the action of God in our lives and the fact that God breathes his Spirit into us. And that is an advantage. And when you think about wind, wind is unseen. Wind is unpredictable. Wind is powerful. But wind is also refreshing. It's amazing that that is what wind is. And, you know, if we go back and go forward in the book of Acts in chapter 2, when they experienced the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out over them. And Pentecost, I don't know how much you know about these things. Pentecost literally means 50. And just a few weeks ago, we experienced Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that was a huge celebration with the Jewish people. And so they were gathered in Jerusalem. And there was 120 that were gathering in the upper room, praying, and as Jesus instructed them, waiting in the upper room for the promise of God to come. They had no idea. They just knew that the wind of God was going to come. And they waited with the expectation. And we know on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit fell on them with what appeared as tongues of fire and sounded like a mighty rushing wind. And they were all filled. They were all filled or all baptized with the Holy Spirit. And what I love about that, 3,000 people got saved. I long for that in our nation, the salvation. But it's not, you know, we need to do good works. We need to reach out. But unless the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, it'll just be our own effort. You know, when I grew up as a kid, it was always the Holy Ghost. And I, you know, as a kid, I'm in church and they're talking about a ghost and they say, I bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And like they, and I remember when I, one young girl that I led to the Lord and, you know, all of that, and she heard that phrase and she would always text me, or I don't even know if we had cell phones. She'd phone me, and she would say, I got spooked today. And I'm thinking, oh, what does that mean? And it was just, it was the Holy Spirit working in her life as a new believer, just revealing things to her and showing and doing things in her life that just like, and she would always use that term, she got spooked. And you know, when we think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we start thinking about spiritual gifts. And then we get a little nervous about that. And what's this going to look like? And exactly. Then we start getting worried and concerned about what is this going to be like? Oh no, are weird things going to happen? And you know, but really when we talk about spiritual gifts, in the Greek, the language uses the word charis, charismatic. Charis is the grace gift of God. Pneumatic or pneuma is the expression of the Spirit. So charismatic, gifts of the Spirit, is the grace and the expression of the Holy Spirit. And we talk about, I use this word baptism, and years ago I read a really good illustration, but literally the word baptism means totally immersed, completely immersed, or overwhelmed. Completely immersed in the Holy Spirit, completely overwhelmed in the Holy Spirit. And just, I'm going to take you through three steps, and then I've got eight other things, and I can do it before my flight goes. But I want to first start with salvation. Because salvation is a personal decision that you make to follow Jesus. And the reason I bring it up again, I never want to take for granted that everybody here has made a commitment to follow Jesus. Matter of fact, in our own church, I have people that they've been coming for 10 years. They've taken Alpha. They've been through small groups with me, and they still have not accepted Jesus Christ. They love the community of the church. They love everything there, but they've never really committed their life to Christ. And Scripture's clear. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart, personal decision, that you're made right with God. And it's by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. I just put that out there. If you're here this morning, you love the church, but you've never actually stepped out and made a personal commitment to say, I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I'm thinking today's a good day. And we'll give you an opportunity later. But believing is a personal decision. But then we have the next step is water baptism, and which is separate from salvation. And water baptism becomes your public declaration saying, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I want the rest of you to know this. And Romans chapter 6 gives a great picture of what baptism looks like if you want to read through Romans chapter 6. And I would also say this. I'm not going to major on these things, but maybe you're here and you made a decision to follow Jesus, but you have not been water baptized. I'm not even going to ask you. I'm going to tell you, you need to get baptized. I've never seen Paul in Scripture say, you know what, if you feel like it and if time is ready, maybe you should get baptized. He commanded people, when they believed in Jesus, he commanded them, get baptized. The picture of baptism, as you stand in that tank there that you have, do you bring it in here or do you do it there? Really, really good. The picture is that you go under the water. You're totally immersed, completely overwhelmed with water. Then you go down as the person you were, and you come up with the expression that I am now going to live a new life in Jesus Christ. Please don't put it off. You know, when I became a Christian, nobody ever told me that kind of stuff. And they would have baptism services all the time in the church, and I thought, well, that's not for me. I grew up in a church and I was sprinkled as a kid. That's good enough for me. It's got to be good enough for God. But I didn't even know what being a Christian was. So I put it out there. If you've never been baptized in water, it's so embarrassing. So what? Or what if my hair gets wet?
It's gonna get wet.
Don't wait till you're my age. It won't make one bit of difference if your hair gets wet. You know, or I just can't say anything in front of people. Well, write something out and read it. I don't know. I'm not going to ask how many are not water baptized. But if you are following Jesus, you must get baptized. Just saying. See, I can say that. I don't think Len would disagree with me. But salvation's totally free. Water baptism is something we got to do. And, you know, of course, churches have split up with the controversy of how do you get baptized? And I won't talk about that. I don't want to split the church. Here's the third thing, and we'll just finish with this. I shouldn't say finish. I'll start with this. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is God's promise. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Why another experience? Salvation is free. It's your personal decision. Water baptism, your public, you know, declaration, and obviously you have to do that. The Holy Spirit comes to empower you, to strengthen you, to guide you, and set you on a mission. And the beauty of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is it's not me, it's not you, it's the promise from heaven. And I know we're all on a spiritual journey, but I do want to encourage you to pursue all that God has for you. Now, just really briefly, I always forget how much I've talked about my past and history, but when I met Tamana, my wife, she was a Pentecostal Christian, and I wasn't. When our first date that came up, Christianity, and I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'd gone to church for 16 years. I didn't know anything about following Jesus, and I didn't know anything about anything other than Christmas and Easter. And so we went through a rough, rough season. In 3 months, I told her I loved her. In 4 months, we were engaged, and then she discovered I wasn't a Christian. I didn't lie. I just didn't know. So, you know, I got saved, not so I could get married, just so I got saved. And then we started having conversation about the Holy Spirit, and I freaked out. I had never heard of this thought of the Spirit of God living in me. Never, ever heard of that. And then always what's attached to that is speaking in tongues, and that freaked me out even more. I hate to say this, but I broke up our engagement twice over the Holy Spirit. The first time, I wrote her a long letter, and I said, this is not going to work. I took back the ring. I understand you're not supposed to do that, but I did. I'm Scottish, okay? I can't help it. And it's a lot of money. I was just out of university. So I took it, my mom put it in a safety deposit box. And then over a journey of a month or so, I realized, no, she's the one. So I got the ring back and, you know, we re-engaged. And then we had more conversations about the Holy Spirit, and I took the ring back again. Nobody does that, right? I'm sorry. And so my mom took it, and she just hid it in the lampshade this time because she says you'll need it again. Bottom line is, we're married. We've been married for 45 years, and you know what? We got that stuff sorted out before we got married, and from day one, we've been able to serve and minister in the church together. And we were married in less than a year from the time that we started dating. So it actually worked. But the Bible is filled with teaching on the Holy Spirit. It talks about the boldness and confidence and the freedom to worship. God has given us the Spirit for a mission and a plan and a purpose. You know, I think of Jesus or Peter. Peter didn't even have the guts to stand up to a servant girl and tell her that he knew Jesus until he was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Then he preached to 3,000 people and they got saved. And I think that's a lot like us. We just don't have the courage and the boldness to talk about our faith in Jesus Christ and who Jesus is without the power, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You read this morning, Romans 8. You're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, if you have the breath of God breathing into you, and remember, those that do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Let me just say this. On the day of Pentecost, we see the Holy Spirit coming down. Can I just backtrack to John chapter 20, verse 22? The disciples, Jesus had been crucified. The disciples were scared. So they're hiding in a room. And Jesus shows up to them, and they were scared. And it took Jesus to say to them, peace be with you. And he showed them the nail prints in his hands, and all of a sudden they saw that, and he says, peace be with you. And then, this is what Jesus did. He breathed his Spirit into the disciples. In my personal theology, I believe that's when the disciples became Christians. Because the Bible says, if you believe and if you repent and you're baptized for the remission of your sins, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. But those same disciples whom Jesus in person breathed his Spirit into them, those same people were there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And it was a second experience that came where he literally baptized them, as Jesus said. He overwhelmed them. They were completely submersed in the Holy Spirit. Church, that's where we need to be. And it's maybe sometimes a scary thing. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul writes this, don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an imperative, be filled. That's like ongoing, ongoing, every day. You know, sometimes I got filled with the Spirit in 1973. That's good enough for me. It's kind of like when you get married and you tell your wife you love her on the wedding day and people say, have you told her you love her? Well, no, I did back then. That was good enough. It's not like that. This thing, this person of the Holy Spirit, it's an everyday occurrence that you, every day, you just say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me today. Lead me and guide me today. The Holy Spirit is not a one-time deal. And maybe you have the Spirit, but maybe it's saying or allowing the Holy Spirit to possess more of your life. Giving the Holy Spirit more control in our lives. And I love how Nikki Gumbel talks about this. What's the difference between a Christian who has the Holy Spirit living within them when they get saved, and someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit? And he uses this illustration, and I love it. When you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. You're like this furnace, and the pilot light goes on. They're having more fun than you guys, I'm sorry. But then he says a person that's filled with the Holy Spirit is like the furnace when it goes on and says, and we all have the pilot light going on in us. If you believe in Jesus, you've received the Holy Spirit. That light, that little burst of flame is there. But there's a moment where God wants to breathe on that little flame and that you would begin to experience the fullness of everything that God has. And I would say some Christians are pilot light Christians and some are Christians. And then as Book of Acts has been a big book for me. And can I just say this to you? This whole thing of the Holy Spirit has been a lifelong journey with me. My middle name is Thomas, which means doubter. I have been a skeptic from day one. I've had to know in my heart and know that this is what God is saying, and this is what the scriptures mean. And so as you go through the book of Acts, you see different groups of people, and maybe you fit into one of these groups. There was a people that were longing to be filled, and those are the ones in the upper room, the 120 people. They were there, they were seeking the Lord, they were praising the Lord and worshiping him and praying and doing exactly what Jesus said. Just wait, just wait, just wait. And God's going to send his promise. They were longing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says in Acts 2, verse 4, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking with other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. They were people who were just longing. Are you one of those people? There were people that weren't longing, but they were open. And we look in Acts chapter 8, and it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. And as soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, for they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. They were open. They didn't really know about it. They'd heard about salvation in Jesus. And then when the apostles came and they taught them and explained it, there were people who were hostile. Oh man, in my life, I've encountered many people that are hostile to the Holy Spirit. I would use Paul as an example. If you read the story in Acts, I love this because Ananias, a man filled with the Holy Spirit, sitting in the window praying. And what? The Holy Spirit says, I want you to go and pray for Saul. And he argued with the Holy Spirit. He says, but he kills Christians. Anyways, he got the message. He went and he prayed for Saul, who became Paul. But he was totally hostile to the gospel, to anything to do with the Spirit. And Ananias comes, he lays hands on him, the scales fall off his eyes, he gets filled with the Holy Spirit and begins to preach the message of the good news. And like, I think the scripture says, people were amazed. He's preaching the gospel of Jesus, and wasn't that the guy that persecuted us? And there's also uninformed people. And I guess this is why I feel in my heart, I'm going to Ontario, and I want to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Our churches need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that you're not filled with the Spirit. Please, don't get me wrong. But there's uninformed people. Acts 19, when Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked him, and no, they replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Spirit. And then what baptism did you experience? And they said, the baptism of John. And Paul said, John's baptism was for repentance from sin. But John himself told people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid their hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. And then there was unlikely people. I have to think that I was an unlikely person. I mean, I fit in all of those. What I didn't fit in the first two categories, I fit in the hostile category and the not heard category, and I feel like I'm one of those most unlikely people that God would ever use to do what I'm doing. And often thought, this will never happen to me. But in the book of Acts, chapter 10, when Peter, he has a revelation from God that it's not just Jews. I'm kind of making it short. You have to go back and read these passages. But that God wanted to reach and touch Gentiles. And so Peter's preaching the message, and he's saying all of these things. He's sharing this vision and dream he had. And it says, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on Gentiles too. Hallelujah. I'm a Gentile. I was. Now I'm a spiritual Jew, but you can take that somewhere else. Pastor Lynn can straighten that one out. Day of Pentecost, tongues of fire and the word of God. A mighty rushing wind. And fire to me reflects the passion and purity of God. And the mighty rushing wind, you can just see these guys, they're praying and worshiping and they're looking around. Honestly, I've done this in our church. I sit in the front row, I look back, and I'm, are there tongues of flame on people? I want to see that. I think God could do that again. I think that would be an awesome thing. And I think it would be a confirming thing to people that maybe are skeptical. And the mighty rushing wind is the breath of God. You know, there's an old hymn called Breathe on Me, Breath of God. I'm just going to read a few stanzas. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. That I may love what you do love and do what you would do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will be one to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. Until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. As I finish, I just want to say, I know that when we start praying for baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is kind of unnerving sometimes. I've been in some unique situations. And if you're like me, I would get freaked out. This is like in my transition from Christian to being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember when Tamana and I were having a discussion one time, and I just said to her, well, speak in tongues then. And so she just started speaking in tongues, and it's like, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And my personal experience was, and I'll tell the story and then we'll finish here, and I want to pray for some of you. But there are barriers to being filled with the Holy Spirit. One is doubt. You know, in Luke 11:9, when Jesus is talking to them about, you know, if you keep on asking, knocking, seeking, he says, you'll get what you ask for. But some people doubt that. And even in that passage, he says, listen, if you ask your dad, you know, for a piece of bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask for fish, he's not going to give you a scorpion. Like, but we doubt. We doubt that God will give us his promise. There's also fear. Fear was a big one for, well, all of these were for me, right? Doubt, fear. You know, I'm not sure that I want it because I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't think that I want to give over control of my life. There's another one, and this comes with water baptism as well, is inadequacy. I'm not good enough. Could I be honest with you? You're not good enough. Get over it. You know, people come to me and I said, you need to get baptized. I'm not worthy. I know you're not worthy. It has nothing to do with your worthiness. It has to do with following Jesus. He's the one that makes you worthy. You don't have to do all the work to get worthy and then get baptized. Maybe you feel inadequate. Maybe you're not really living a life for Jesus. Come on. Now's the time to say, I got to open up my life and be fully immersed in the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to empower me and help me lead a life that's worthy of following Jesus. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. So for me, I got saved. Somebody in our church, and I would have been, I'm thinking 23, 24 years old. So it's 100 years ago. But Tamana's family, somebody bought us tickets to go to a banquet in Vancouver. You might not even know of this, but the speaker was Demas Shakarian, who wrote a book called The Happiest People on Earth, and he wasn't the founder of Disneyland. And he also was the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen. And his thing was preaching on the Holy Spirit. Well, so we go. We sat through some horrible, in my mind, I was a music teacher in high school. We sat through some horrible music in my mind. It was like this shaky, you know, old Christian music. Anyways, I'm there, and the Demas Shakarian gets up, and he preaches on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And at the end, he had everybody stand, and so we're sitting around a round table, Tamana's brothers, their wives, and her parents, and we all stand up, and he says to people, he says, okay, we're going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, put your hand up. I put my hands in my pocket, because and this is who I've changed, just so you know, I've changed. This is who I was. I thought, I am not going to give them the satisfaction of seeing this happen in my life. And so I shoved my hands in my pocket. I don't know, but maybe some of you are thinking, oh no, he's going to come and we're going to start praying. Before I knew it, my hand was up. Nobody lifted it. It just went up. And of course, I decided to close my eyes because I guess they were probably all cheering. And then somebody comes from another table, and all I remember is he was bald. That's all I remember. He puts his hand on my shoulder, and he begins praying in tongues. Great. I did not hear tongues. Like the start, I knew he was praying in tongues, but all I heard... You guys think this is like, this is what I needed to hear, okay? I felt the Lord just said to me, try it. It's easy. Well, again, my carnal nature came in. I thought, I'm not going to give them the pleasure of, you know, being able to see that. But when I got home, I'm asking the Lord about this, and I began speaking in tongues, and ever since, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and experiencing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I decided when I get to heaven, I want to be able to say to Paul, I spoke in tongues more than you did. Because he says in Corinthians, I speak in tongues more than all of you. He wants us to speak intelligible words, but he obviously had a very strong prayer life, praying in the Spirit. And so I'm going to ask you this morning as we close to take a leap of faith. I love this passage in Ezekiel 47. It's coming from the presence of God is the river of God. And he was measuring it as he went, and it's like the Lord took him along this stream. And so many feet out, he led me across, and the water was up to my ankles. And then he measured off another 1,700 feet and led me across. This time, the water was up to my knees. And then he took me another 1,700 feet, and it was up to my waist. And then he took me to another 1,700 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. But it was deep enough to swim in. Ankles, knees, waist. I'm still getting wet, but I have control. In a place that was deep enough to swim. And the Bible says that place was teeming with life. You know, this morning God knows where your heart is. He knows where you are. And I just finished with this last scripture where Jesus promised living water. And when he talked about living water, rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being or flowing from your heart. And when he said that, living water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone who believes in him. Can I help you this morning, as we finish, to take a step? And that step is this: to open up your heart for all that God has. And that if you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I believe this morning God wants to just breathe on you. Maybe you've been in a place in your Christian walk where you've felt dry. To me, that says you need the rivers of living water to again be flowing from your heart, out of your innermost being. Maybe you feel like, okay, it's almost like, you know, a water bottle. You've been sprayed and doused a little bit with the Holy Spirit. But to be totally immersed in the Holy Spirit and allow God to assume control of your life. The beauty of it is, he gives you power and the ability to pursue the mission of God in your life. He gives you gifts that will help you every step of the way. And I would say this, I know that, and I've had this conversation, the whole idea of speaking in tongues makes people afraid. And to be honest, over history, the church has done damage because they won't let people go unless they speak in tongues, and they even tell them how to do it. I'm not going to do that. Because I believe very strongly that if someone lays hands on you and prays for you to receive the Holy Spirit, God will do that. You're asking, and when Jesus gives that parable about asking for bread and asking for a fish and all that kind of stuff, he says, how much more does your Heavenly Father want to give you the Holy Spirit? Come on, I just believe for Enjoy Life Church, a new season of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the moving of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God has work for you to do as a church. He's got a mission for you in Edmonton to reach people, and the Holy Spirit will give you courage and boldness to accomplish that mission. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I'm sorry, one last thing is, I remember having someone come to our church, and, you know, I was pretty seasoned. And he just said, maybe you're in a rut with the Holy Spirit. And when you pray in your heavenly language, it sounds the same all the time. And he said, but the thing is, the Holy Spirit's creative. And even the Holy Spirit and a fresh touch of the Spirit can begin to expand your prayer language and open it up to new dynamic and new things. All I know is I can't do anything. You have to have an open heart, a longing heart, be willing just to say, God, fill me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us afresh. Come and renew us, Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need your Spirit. We need a work of your Spirit. We need to be immersed and overwhelmed by your Holy Spirit. If you're in any one of those categories this morning, or maybe you're not following Jesus and you want to make a decision to follow Jesus because, bam, you can begin to experience this amazing thing of the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to come up to the front. And I might not have long prayers, but I just believe that there's an impartation by the laying on of hands, whether it be freshness, whether it be just a new baptism, whether it be a release of the gifts of the Spirit, whether it's prophecy. I mean, the Bible says they were filled with the Spirit and they spoke the word with boldness, or they prophesied. But come on, the Bible talks about all of these gifts of the Spirit that are for you, promised by God, to be able to accomplish the mission of God. And maybe you're one of the resistant ones and you just don't want to give up control. I can't help you. Open your heart. Open your heart. Oh, Lord Jesus, we say, Holy Spirit, come.